to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, December 16th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 81. I forgot what day it was there for a minute, but I got it okay. My name is Rob. That's Jason.
Hey, you actually forgot what year it was.
What did I say?
You looked back to see, you said the date, and then you looked again before you said the year.
I'm a mess. Apparently. I'm a mess today.
It would be understandable if this was a month from now.
Yeah. Right. That's right. That's going to be real hard when we get to 2014. Like that first episode that we recorded for 2014, be a piece of cake. The one after that, I'll be a mess. So don't expect much from you guys.
You're always kind of a mess.
I am. Oh, I'm terrible. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, it is so going.
So going?
So going.
So going, so going.
So going.
In what way and how?
Things are happening.
Like what?
Not much, really.
No. Gosh,
I'm
trying
really hard to figure out how to make prototypes for Unbub.
Yeah?
It makes me want to punch my face.
What have you decided about that?
Not much.
No? Okay, so you got nothing for us tonight. Thanks a lot.
I mean, a Stand Back Showdown is a good backup game to take. I can't remember if I said this on the show or not, but I was given some feedback on that from a publisher. And the feedback would require me to change large portions of the game. And I don't know if that's for better or for worse, but I know that I probably couldn't get it done and play tested before Unpub, even though it's the game that I have artwork for and I have a lot of stuff for. So I, I think I'm pretty much convinced I'll take Gunslinging Ramblers in some fashion or another.
Sure.
But
what are you going to have at the table? Because, I mean, you can bring as many games as you want, but you can only have two at the table, right?
No, that's not true. I think you can have as many as you want. You can fit at the table.
Oh.
You can only register two.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, as my flagship game, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It could be Gunslinging Ramblers.
Okay.
It could be something else.
Could be Scrapyard Cats.
It could be Scrapyard Cats. And then you, because you and I are working on that one together, you could be there in spirit.
Yeah.
So, maybe it could be Scrapyard Cats. Bust out some artwork for me, and it will be Scrapyard Cats.
I don't really have much time for that.
Well, if you
already halfway through December. Already halfway through December. Holy cow, that's coming fast.
If you did have stuff, though, for it, then that'd be great.
Okay.
And I wanted to do Game Crafter components for this stuff, but there's no way I'm going to be able to.
Yeah. I think I should probably continue focusing on Water Balloon Washout for you, getting that art done, getting the layout, forgive me, because the art's done. The layout needs to get done.
Yeah.
And then I really want to do a second edition of Rumblebum still.
To be clear, so that people who back the game are like, what? It hasn't went to the printer yet? This is being recorded in advance, and by the time you're listening to this, I assure you it will be with the printer.
True. Yeah, sorry about that. So. I don't mean to mislead anybody.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and I still want to get a second edition of Rumblebum done. Like I've talked before, I want to add more knights and princesses.
Right.
Gender-neutral version. And I want to revise my box art, too.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
Times.
Well, what you been playing?
You know, just a bunch of different stuff. I've been playing that Survival Craft game again on my iPad, which is like that Minecraft for Pop. Man, I love that game.
Yeah.
Just felt like I should mention it because I've been playing so incredible much of it.
Just for Thanksgiving, several weeks ago, I actually downloaded and put Minecraft on my iPhone so that I would have something to do at my family's house for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And I'm enjoying Minecraft all over again, like
good,
the first time.
Yeah, this Survival Craft game, I'm finally like getting good at it. So the only thing I haven't figured out how to do is build electrical stuff. Mm. I mean, I get how to do it, but it looks like such a pain in the butt. Yeah. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've done that or not in Minecraft.
No, I've never gotten that far.
So, I mean, I have all the stuff. I could do it, but I just...
Yeah, for me in Minecraft, I mean, the fun of it for me was building that first house and, you know, stocking up on torches and stuff. And, and then I would kind of eventually lose interest because I didn't know how to build any of the more complicated things, or I would struggle to go and find all the right kinds of ore to get cool stuff made.
One nice thing about this ripoff of Minecraft is that it has a Recipedia, it calls it, in the game.
Okay.
So you can just click on it and say, oh, I want to learn how to, here's all the stuff I could build.
That's
and
neat.
It tells you how.
Yeah, you know, Minecraft is actually pretty good about that. When you build a crafting table, it helps you out with that. I mean, you still have to go find the stuff, but it helps. Yeah.
Right.
So, that's good.
So, I just built it. I built a spillway thing kind of around my entire settlement and filled it with magma. So, now nothing
can... Red hot magma.
Now nothing can get across, though. It's awesome.
How do you get across?
I just hop it. It's easy, but the wolves won't jump. It's in the water, so the wolves won't jump over it. Because the wolves in this game are the big thing that wants to eat your face all the time.
Eat your face all
and then
the time.
At night, they turn. Sometimes at night, they turn into werewolves.
Yeah, well, that's
and then
right.
They're super scary.
Super extra scary. They just stare at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just played some other card games and stuff at my parents' house for over Thanksgiving. We did, but
yeah.
Nothing super mentionable.
No.
Okay. What's going on with you?
Yeah. Well, before I get into that, I have another beer here that Nate Darty gave us that I thought I would crack open here. This is not one of his home brews, so hopefully this one will not explode all over the floor in the office here. This is from Four Hands Brewing Company. It's a Reprise Centennial Red Ale. Red ale brewed with a single hop. Just one. So I like red ales, so let's give this a try here.
One hop.
One hop. One hop this time. Bump. Two hops. Bump, bump. You know?
I hate that song.
I do too.
Slide to the left.
Slide to the right. Crisscross.
Oh, it's exploding. I'm just kidding.
It's not.
You look, though.
This one is not. I did. I panicked. All right. It smells good. Mm, yeah, it smells good. Mmm. Yeah, that's all right. That's pretty good.
Cool.
Made in St. Louis. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah.
This one didn't explode. Cha-ching! What have I been playing? Well, I haven't really been playing much. I actually got some bad news recently that I thought I should talk about.
Yeah, let's do that.
I got a rejection. I got a rejection on Maelstrom. I think I mentioned before that I had Maelstrom out to a publisher who was looking at it. And he said no thank you, and he was very nice about it.
And based on the feedback you had originally gotten, it actually sounded semi-promising.
Yeah, yeah. He said, just to kind of paraphrase here, he said that, you know, he appreciated the chance to look at it, but his slate for 2014 was already full, and he didn't want to hold me back from any other publishers who might be able to do something with it sooner. So, you know, that was really nice. I mean, that he didn't just come out and say, yeah, your game blows. So, you know, that's nice. And I'm still really happy with the game, really pleased with it. So that is off the table. Maybe I'll see what else I can do with it. I've been thinking, and I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast, but we've talked about this briefly offline, but I was thinking I might try and see if I can connect it somehow and, you know, adjust the theme a little bit to fit within the Tempest universe for AEG.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't played any of the Tempest games other than Love Letter. So I need to read up on that and see what I can learn and see if there's any way that this game can kind of fit into that universe. Kind of depends on their fiction, you know? I'm not sure if they have big angry sea gods in there or
you may be able to tweak the narrative just a little to meet up with what they have too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So that's something that I'm going to try and explore next. I don't know if AEG is interested what their slate looks like, I guess. You know, I'm not sure how prepared they are for new stuff, but I think that's going to be my next try. So
cool.
We'll see how that goes. But yeah, so that's kind of been my focus right now. I should remind everybody that there is a print and play of Maelstrom available if anybody wants to play it.
There is.
I mean, the print, it's out there. You
and
can get it.
It's a great stinking game.
I'm really happy with it. buildingthegamepodcast.com. It's out there in our games section. You can try it for yourself. I've had a couple people give it a shot, and they've given me really good feedback, and I appreciate that. Mark Spector, I should mention him again. Thank you again, Mark, for everything you've done for us and all the thoughts you gave me on Maelstrom, so that's cool. If there are any publishers out there listening right now, hey, Maelstrom's available. Get in touch. It's a great game.
It's a super fun game.
I'd be happy to send you a prototype. Anyway,
I'm curious, is that company sending back your prototype or no?
He didn't say.
Means probably no.
Probably not. So probably those cubes and all those wooden bits are lost forever.
That's a bummer.
That is kind of a bummer. That's kind of, I mean, it's a bummer that he didn't want the game, but whatever, rejection's part of this, so I'm not terribly upset about that. I'm more bummed about not getting those wooden bits back.
Well, and that was like the nicest prototype version of that game you had.
Yeah, it was a nice version. So, I mean, a lot of it was just inkjet prints, but those wooden bits, man. I would have really liked to have those back.
It happens.
Oh, well.
Hey, so that was like, you're talking about a prototype,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey. Why don't we move on to our feature of the week?
Oh, what an idea.
And what were we going to talk about today?
We were going to talk about prototyping.
Hey, hey, we hey, were.
And what we do, how, what kind of materials we use for that, how we put stuff together.
Yeah, and we've rushed on this several times, not like as a whole subject, but we have talked about it in some of our panels, or more so in some of our panels, other designers have talked more about it than we have. So we thought we'd take this chance to actually talk about it on our own. I mean, it's something where there's no right answer for how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's whatever works for you. But we thought we could kind of talk about our process, and maybe that would give you some good ideas for you know, what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Since our process is the only process that's right.
It's the best process. Yeah.
Best podcast, best process, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, hey, we rule, man.
That's what I'm saying.
We are large and in charge.
Remember when we used to be
humble?
Actually,
you know who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who's in charge, Jason?
Charles?
Charles is in charge.
Well, I think, I mean...
Who's the boss, Jason?
It's Tony Danza, but... Yeah. I mean, I think, here's the thing. I think he might be in charge of our days and our nights, and our wrongs and our rights. And I may want Charles in charge of me, but I don't know that he is anymore. Scott Baio is a washed up old dude.
He might, yeah, I guess he is. I don't know, what's he done lately?
He had a reality show for a while called Scott Baio 40 and Single or something like that, or 46 and Single. But then there was like Scott Baio engaged with a pregnant wife. I just distinctly remember I saw 5 minutes of a show with him. This is a little tangent.
Whoa. Engaged with a pregnant wife.
Okay. Wait, sorry. Engaged with
I'm not saying that's impossible, but controversial.
No. He was engaged to a woman who I think was pregnant, but I could be wrong about that. But this is the one part of the show I ever saw.
Uh-huh.
She's trying to talk to him, and he's on the toilet. And the cameras are just right there. And she's like, listen, I really want to talk about this. He's like, I'm on the freaking toilet. Like, you have a camera with you. Could I maybe just use the bathroom in peace? And then I changed the channel and never
looked
back.
That's enough, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. That's all you need. That's good
enough. I figured,
enough.
How low can you go, Scott Baio? Cameras in your toilet.
Yep.
That's how low.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And, hey, prototyping. So, yeah. So, back to prototyping.
We need to make a Charles in Charge prototype. Anyway, what are we doing? Prototyping. Okay, we're talking about Maelstrom. Let me why don't I talk about some of the things that I did for my Maelstrom prototype. How about that?
Okay.
I mean, just as a way to get into the subject. Okay.
Yeah.
So Maelstrom is a game that needed a board and needed some tableaus and needed a lot of little meeples and pieces to go on the board. And then you all need to be color-coded and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, that was kind of component-heavy for a prototype.
Yeah, a lot of little bits. A lot of little bits. One of the best things that I discovered while putting that together, or one of the best ideas that came to me, because I've used these before, but one of the best things that I found was full-sheet labels, inkjet labels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were great. By doing that, I just did the stuff in Photoshop on my computer. I wouldn't necessarily have to do it in Photoshop when I'm laying on a board. I use Photoshop. You could use Paint. You could use whatever software you want to do board layout or whatever. And then you just print it off on your inkjet printer. And then rather than having to like use masking tape or Scotch tape to cut things out and tape it all together, and you have this floppy thing, I printed it on the full sheet labels, and then I used it to peel and stick onto a piece of cardboard, corrugated cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then I just used an X-Acto knife to cut out around it. And then I had a really nice, sturdy, rigid board that was essentially free. I mean, there was the cost of the labels and the time in Photoshop to do that. But I mean, who doesn't have a cardboard box lying in their garage or something?
Right. And I'll say that at Grand Con, most people saw that when they were just looking down at it. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't see the corrugated sides. They thought you got it done by the Game Crafter.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. got that comment more than once.
Yeah,
more than
yeah.
twice, actually.
Because it was sturdy and it was a solid, rigid board, people really liked that. It looked good. And, you know, it was completely simple and done in 20 minutes, you know? And I found other benefits to those full sheet labels, because then you can print smaller things, you know, like little token stickers, because I had these little round disc tokens that I needed to use for the pirate ships on there. And rather than try and get label stock that was pre die cut circles, you know, mm-hmm. specific size and find stuff the right size, all I did is I just made it the right size in Photoshop and print it out and then just cut out the labels and peel and
awesome,
stick to the, yeah, to the wooden tokens that were already their own unique size.
Mm-hmm.
and it looked good, and it was super, super easy. So that was a really quite a pleasant discovery for me, was full sheet labels. Highly, highly recommended. You can get a pack of full sheet labels at Office Depot or Home Depot, or Office Depot or Office Max. Super cheap. You know, that is well worth your time. Well worth your time. There's no substitution, of course, for just a box of different colored cubes. We both like our tub of 1,000 cubes.
Yes.
10 colors, 100 cubes each. Jason's turning around looking at mine. I sorted them all out by color.
I did the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Those are, so I think it's $20 for 1,000 cubes. Can't beat that.
Nope.
You know?
Especially, like, if you'd have had those, sending those off to a publisher and not getting them back, you don't feel so bad about that. Because it's $20 to buy a whole new batch that'll last for a long, long time.
Right, right. One of the sadder parts about not getting those bits back on Maelstrom is that some of the bits that I sent to him were ones that I bought from GameCrafter. Some little colored wooden discs. And I am kind of sad to lose those because those were a little more expensive.
Yeah.
And they were a little more unique in size and style. So that's kind of a bummer to have those gone. But GameCrafter, that said, I mean, they're not expensive on there.
No, I mean, not comparatively.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's, you know, some suggestions that I have. I haven't used the full sheet labels before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would try that next time. So what I've done in the past, when I need something to look good, of course, you could just go to the Game Crafter, like, upload all your stuff and do it that way. We've both done that multiple times, but you already know about that. We've told you about that before. So what I did when I needed a prototype for Gen Con, I was bringing a prototype. First of all, the cardboard idea you have is great to make a board. If you want to spend a little money on it, and you don't just want to use a cardboard box, and you want to have a board that'll fold, you can get one of those display boards for like a school project where it's like a folding board. So it's cardboard, but it like folds into three sections.
Like pre-scored for folding, yeah.
And if you cut it correctly, you've got a game board that folds in half.
Yep.
I did that for Sandbox Showdown, and it worked awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they make those both in corrugated cardboard and in foam core.
Yep.
They're cheap in either way.
Yep.
So that's a good idea.
You can also score foam core on your own, obviously. That's pretty easy to do. Not as likely to hold together as if you get the pre-scored, but that's cool. Right. So what I do for cards is I actually put them all, I lay them out in Photoshop, and then I put them, we're talking about nicer prototypes, so we'll talk about down and dirty prototypes after this, but I lay those out in Photoshop on 8.5 by 11, and then I take the files to Kinko's, and I have them print them on their thickest cardstock. It's a photo quality cardstock, so it looks nice and shiny.
Yeah.
And those cards look real legit, and especially because I like to put those cards in card sleeves anyways.
Yeah.
So you have a rigid card and a card sleeve, done. Mm-hmm. And they look real nice.
Yeah.
I cut them out with scissors, which doesn't mean sometimes they're not always perfect. I would strongly suggest to get a paper cutter if you're going to do that consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that, at Kinko's, FedEx Kinko's now, or whatever they call it,
yeah,
I bet you that they have paper cutters there you can use for free.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Last time I was there, it was like 12:30 at night, because I was running late. It was the night before Gen Con.
Yeah.
It was 12:30 the night right. before Gen Con. And I cut that one out in your car, so...
On the way down there, yeah.
But, you know, next time I think I would take a little extra time, do it at Kinko's, or FedEx, or whatever it's called now, and So that's how we make nicer prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
So the down and dirty prototype. So I can, my first prototype layouts I do in Word.
Yeah.
I have a grid, fits 9 cards on a page. I'm happy with the size of those cards. And all I do is in those things, I put a label like, I try and name all my cards because that helps for not having artwork. So there's a big heading with bold and you can really read it. So that when you look at that card, you get some recognition.
Yeah.
I put those all out, and then I print them, and I cut them by hand, which really doesn't take that long. And then I put them in card sleeves. I have color-coded card sleeves, which allows me to have, if there's different types of cards, I can have different color backs to help you differentiate between them, which is really helpful for prototypes. Another thing you can use is markers, by the way, if you don't want to go out and buy wooden bits and stuff, but if you're into role-playing at all, you probably have a lot of dice. So dice work really well for markers as well.
Yep.
Something I do frequently, actually, is whenever I go to a dollar store with my wife, I will look for D6s. Six-sided dice are pretty common at dollar stores, and they'll be multicolored. Mm-hmm. And for a buck, you'll get like 6 to 8 of them.
Mm-hmm. It's a good deal.
So, and they're really cheap, and they're not great for rolling. But if you're just using them to mark stuff, they're awesome. Yep. So,
yeah, and don't discount those little glass penny gems you can get at craft stores, too. They're great for different colored markers and things, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I keep a bag of those as well.
Me too.
You know, another suggestion Jason Katarski has given before, and I actually did this, and it works really well, is go to the Goodwill, find some awesome games that have a lot of, they're very component heavy, and buy them really cheap, bring them home, destroy them by breaking them down, and you've got a bunch of different bits and stuff you can use in games. I've got some really cool stuff that way. I mean, you need to be picky about the games you choose, right?
Sure.
I bought Monopoly for 50 cents, like a travel version of Monopoly, solely for the houses, the hotels, and the money.
Yeah.
Because I knew those were three things I could use.
Sure, sure.
Some thoughts there.
Yeah, while we were at Gen Con this past year, my wife and I picked up a game, an AEG game called... what was that called? Pressure Matrix. And it's all cardboard, heavy, thick cardboard chipboard. Everything is cardboard, chipboard tiles. Mm-hmm. We haven't played it. It was $5. We may never play it. I just grabbed it because I thought there's no way that... I mean, any game is worth $5. And even if that game is not worth $5, the chits inside it are definitely worth $5 to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a game that's real component heavy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a great thing to do, to look for old games, games that maybe you don't even want to play, but just grab them for their components. That can be great for prototyping. I'm trying to think about what else I've gotten here. I mean, obviously I have a ton of D&D minis that are easy to use for, you know, for pawns and games, especially if you need different pawns to look different. I've also bought some generic colored pawns from GameCrafter as well. But using the D&D minis is a little bit more fun. I also use card sleeves when I'm doing some simple prototyping. But one thing that I like to do is instead of just putting the printed piece of paper into the card sleeve, I also like to put an old card in there with it, just to give it the kind of the snap and the feel of an actual card. They shuffle a little easier, they feel a little better in your hand, and if you're playing with people who are not used to working with prototypes, they kind of like that. They like that heaviness of it.
And I actually tried that on my last prototype that I did. I normally don't do that, but I tried it because I've seen you try it, and I liked it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, it feels good. And I've got a pile of D&D mini cards, character cards, or, you know, stat cards that came with all those minis. I've got a couple old, terrible, terrible card games that I got at Gen Con in years past that I will never play again. And after we talked to Flip the Table on one episode, more than a year ago now, they had sent me a copy of their American Idol trading card game, or collectible card game? Customizable card game?
I don't remember.
Whatever. Their American Idol card game. And I use those cards a lot, too, for just putting into card sleeves. And, you know, and those are so easy. You can just reuse them over and over again. Just pull them out of sleeves and just resort them all out. Every time I work on a new board game prototype, or card game prototype, I start by pulling apart the last one and just separating out into its core pieces so that I can reassemble it again. And that's kind of part of the ritual for me, and I like that. I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, that's kind of me with cutting out the cards, just sitting there watching TV, cutting out cards.
Yeah, I threw together not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, a prototype for that deified game. I actually still haven't even played it. I just put together the core components, and then my wife and I haven't had time to try it yet. But I sat there, and I started by pulling apart all my old Frankenstein's Legacy prototype cards, because I hadn't ripped those up yet, and then reassembled the new cards while I was watching Transylvania 6-5000.
Oh!
Man, what a great movie. What a great Wolfman. Movie. Wolfman is pretty good. Yeah. So many good people in that, too. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. It's a good flick. I mean, it's not, but it is.
Oh, it's terrible, but it's fun. You know, as Chevy has said, how great it is to have his prototyping box before.
Yep.
Multiple colors of markers and just kind of random dice in there. That's really, really handy, really helpful. it's just good to have a lot of these sorts of things available to you. And over time, the longer you keep doing this, the more of this kind of stuff you'll collect, and you'll just kind of be ready to go with it. And that's really nice. I have so much more crap right now than we did, you know, a year and a half ago when we started this project, and I kind of want more, you know?
Yeah.
I could use more stuff.
Ain't always that the truth, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I think hopefully this was a helpful discussion for you guys. And I hope that hope it helps out.
Mm-hmm. I can't recommend full sheet labels enough. They're so great. They're so great. Trust me, they are. I think we should go ahead and move on to practicing the pitch for the night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my turn. I thought it would be fun to pitch a Christmas game. Seeing as how the holidays are fast approaching.
That they are.
You know, I thought it would be cool to do something kind of Christmas themed. And so I have this idea, and I have my original idea, and then lying in bed one night thinking through the idea, I kind of have an alternate version of the same game. So I thought I might kind of present both of these concepts and see what you like better.
Sounds great. Okay.
So the idea, the theme, I'm calling the game Toy Store. Or the toy store, or
I thought you said toy store. I was like, "Oh, that's taken." Dude.
Yeah, the toy store.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Working title. The idea of the game is that you and I and all the players we are siblings. Okay, and our mom has taken us to the toy store. All right, and she's letting us run around in the toy store, and she is pushing the cart, and she is on her way to the checkout counter, and she is constantly moving at a constant speed toward the checkout counter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what we need to do is we need to run out into the different aisles in the toy store, and we need to get cards, which are toys, and we need to bring them back to mom at the cart. And we need to say, "Hey, mom, will you buy this for me?" Okay.
Okay.
So you run out and you get a toy, and then you bring it back to mom at the cart, wherever she is in the line headed toward the checkout counter, and then you roll a die to see how she responds to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you succeed at that roll, then you can put the toy in the cart, and you're going to get points for that at the end. If she says no, you lose the toy. You just discard it, and you have to go back and get something else. Now you can do that one at a time, and when you're rolling for one toy, it's really easy. You know, it's not, you know, maybe the goal on 2d6 is a 4. Okay, mm-hmm. Real easy. But the better thing to do, the more efficient way to do that, is actually to go out and pick up multiple toys, up to 4 toys at a time.
Yeah.
And then bring them all back to mom at the same time. And then it's a press your luck mechanic.
Okay. All right. Because she's more likely to notice.
Right. And every time, right. Yeah. Yeah. So you say, "Hey, mom, can I have this one?" And you roll the die, you know, and you get your 4, and you go, "Oh, okay, thanks." And then you say, "Okay, mom, well, can I have this one too?" And so, and up to 4 toys in that round, and you roll the die every time to see if mom is going to let you buy that toy. We'll buy that toy for you. If she eventually, if at any point you fail a roll, she gets mad at you and says, "No, take them all back." And then you lose everything in that batch that you took.
But not the things that are already in the cart. In the cart.
Okay. Right, in the cart and in the cart. But if you fail in a roll for a new toy that you're bringing to her in this batch, then she says, "No, you got to take it all back. Put it away. And so you lose those toys. Okay. Now, so when mom gets to the end, gets to the register, everybody has one last chance to bring the toys that they've collected back to mom. If they can make it back to mom and roll, and they can get points for whatever they got. And then it's set collection, you know. So there are, there are G.I. Joes, there are dinosaurs, there are Legos, okay? And each one of those individually is worth a certain amount of points. So let's say there are 4 G.I. Joes. You know what? Let's say there are 4 Scrapyard Cats. These are Scrapyard Cats action figures here. If you get 1 Scrapyard Cat, if you get Fluffy, then you know, you're going to get 2 points for Fluffy. But if you get Fluffy and Mr. Pickles, you're going to get 2 points for each of them, plus 2 for the set bonus, you know?
Right.
The more of each set that you get, the higher the bonus you're going to be.
That makes sense.
Right, and so you're going to be running to different parts of the toy store as new cards are revealed to get different cards, different toys for that set, all right? So the board is basically a grid of squares. There's like a straight track in the center where mom is moving. Every round she moves forward 1 space, and then you're moving, you're rolling your dice, roll and move. It's a roll and move game. Okay.
Yep.
But so you're rolling, move your pawn across the board, much like Clue, to get to the different shelves where you can draw a card. Okay. I think the cards are probably placed 3 up. There's probably 6 aisles in the store. Each of the aisles has 3 face-up cards in that aisle, so you know what you're gonna get, what you're gonna pick up where.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then you're going to run it back to mom. Every time you pick up a toy, a new one is drawn and goes out on top. That's basically the game.
Cool.
Okay. Real simple, real basic, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Christmas theme. Obviously, the board, the toy store is decorated for Christmas, so there's going to be Christmas trees and Santa out there.
Yeah, I think
there's probably also a Spirit of Christmas token. At the beginning of the game, everybody gets a Spirit of Christmas token. And what you can do is, if you fail a roll with mom, you can spend your Spirit of Christmas token, and you can look up at mom, and your eyes get all big, full of tears. And she said no to you, and you almost start to cry. She says, "All right, all right, all right." And you don't get the toy, but you have the chance to either re-roll or stop and save the ones she already said yes to.
Okay,
you know, so it kind of saves that fail.
That's cool. That's a good idea,
right? But if you don't spend your Spirit of Christmas token, you get bonus points for that at the end because you're a good kid.
You didn't have to manipulate mom.
Exactly, right. Okay.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
So that's the original basic version of the game.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, the next version, it's the same theme, right? Trying to get mom to get to buy us toys. Okay. But the structure is different. There's no board in this. This is mainly just a card game. Okay. So in this version, there's not one mom. You're not all siblings. Everybody is there with their own mom, okay? And everybody has a track in front of them with a marker that says mom's position. Let's say this track is 20 spaces long, okay? And the game ends for you when your mom gets the end of her track. That means she made it to the checkout counter, all right?
Right.
Okay. Then in the center of the table, there is a line of cards. Okay, there's like the draw deck, and then let's say there are five cards out there in a line. Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, the card closest to the draw deck costs 4, and the card farthest from the draw deck costs 0. Let's say 5 and 1. Okay, let's say 5 and 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So as you get farther away from the draw deck, they're going to cost you less.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that concept is how far away from mom those cards are. So what I have to do is if I can take the card in position number 1, and by taking that, that's only going to move mom down one space down the track. Okay?
Okay.
But if I take the card that's in position 5, I got to run clear across the store and back to get it, to bring it back to mom. Okay?
Okay.
And then mom's going to move 5 spaces forward on that track.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm only going to do that if it's something that I really, really, really want.
Right.
Yeah. And then I can collect things up to 4, and then I can do the roll, press your luck kind of thing to see if mom will take that stuff for me. So kind of a simple, different approach to that, and it makes everybody kind of be independent in how they're managing their stuff. They're, you know, they have that kind of that resource to spend to decide what card to get from the track. Obviously, as a card is drawn, everything shifts down one and a new card comes out.
Now, so everybody's taken from that same stack?
Right.
But everybody's mom is separate.
Everybody's mom is separate.
Okay. So
everybody has their own mom pool, you know?
Right.
Mom never turns around and goes back, though.
So does the game end when the first person runs out or when the last person runs out?
The game ends when the last person's mom gets to the counter.
Okay.
When your mom gets to the counter, game ends for you. You can't score anymore.
So in the end, you're going to have one person who's just going to quick burn through it.
Yeah.
That person should win every time.
Should they?
Well, I mean, let's think about that.
Not necessarily.
I mean, I think your scale's broken.
You think so?
This is why I think that.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, wait. We're sharing the scale, right?
Yeah.
Never mind. Your scale's not broken.
Okay.
I was thinking it was my own personal scale, and I was like, why would I ever pay more than one?
Yeah, no.
Just take the next card.
Yeah.
But no, I get you. Because when that card hits at 5, and I have 3 of those figures already, and everybody knows that.
Right.
And I want the 4th, and it's going to be a bajillion points for me. You might spend 5 to stop me from getting that.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I still think slow playing would probably be the easiest way to win. I mean...
Well, I mean, if every toy is worth 2 points, or maybe not every toy is worth 2 points, maybe different... different toys cost more or are worth more points, but it's not about getting the high value points. It's about collecting the full set. Right. That's how you get score multipliers and how you really do well when you collect sets. And then you're not always going to just pick whatever is the cheapest one. You're going to pick whatever, you know, whatever one you think. I mean, early game, you're going to take whatever, you know, but it's by once you get about midway through the game, everybody's going to be kind of angling for their own individual sets. Right. Plus, some sets only have two cards in them. Some sets have five cards in them.
Right.
You know?
I like that. Here's a way to think to make it more interesting.
Okay.
I could be wrong. This could just be stupid. But what if first player who's like, what if it's represented by the number of turns that the mom is stuck there?
Mm-hmm.
She's getting more and more irritated, right?
Okay.
So the faster you get mom out of the store, the happier she's going to be at the end.
Oh.
And therefore, the bonus points you'll get.
Okay.
So being the last player would give you the opportunity to do some staging for how you wanted to do something, right? Like, if I'm the last player and I have five squares left,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be able to clear that rack before my mom's gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So what if the first player gets, say, I'm just throwing numbers out. First player gets 10 bonus points for ending first.
Okay.
Second one gets 6. Third one gets
2.
Last player gets 0.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a really good idea. And it would encourage you to be aggressive with that also, and not just try and hold out and be the last guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's 10 points swing between the first and the last.
Yeah.
So then it just adds another press your luck piece to it, mm-hmm. right? You're kind of hedging your bets. Do I want to be first and get that extra 10 points?
That's a great idea. I really like that idea. Yeah.
Another way to do that would be this might be fun too. I actually like this better. It makes it a little more complicated, but I think it's better. 3-2-1-0, right? Mm-hmm. Not points, toys. 3 face-up toys, 2 face-up toys, 1 face-up toy, nothing. So the first person to end, their mom is so happy, they were so good, she gives them 3 bonus toys that you're going to add to your sets, right?
Mm.
So here's their face-up. So everybody knows at the beginning of the game, first place is going to get
so you just deal those out at the beginning of the game and then sit there for the rest of the game.
Yeah, so that you can, if you're close to getting that set, you're like, I got to get out of here. Because I could finish this set and get 2 extra cards.
But what if you have what if it's a 5-card set and 3 cards in that set are in 3 different stages? Then you're kind of hosed.
There's no repeats of cards?
No.
That might not work then. Which is too bad, because that actually really like
that's,
that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And now, if there were repeats of cards, then that's very viable. Maybe there could be repeats. I think it might be more fun, though, if every card is unique.
Oh, what if they're specialty cards that you have on that stack? So how many different sets of toys do you want to have?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, you have the Scrapyard Cats as the action figures, but then there might be a Scrapyard Cat vehicle.
Exactly.
You know?
Which, if you have all 5 Scrapyard Cats, gives you a huge bonus.
Right.
But if you don't, it's like a wild card and it fills a slot.
Oh, that's good. So
if you have, say, 6 different types of toys.
Right, 3, 2, and 1. So 3-6 different sets, yeah.
You could even have more than, you know, say you had 10 sets, so only 6 of them are represented out there. Right.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That really makes you have to think like, I feel like I want to be first, but I know I'm going to hose myself.
So it's not that you're going to get 10 bonus points, but you're going to get something to add to your sets to give you an additional multiplier.
Which, if you can manage to get all 5 of a set...
Right. And then if the game plays... And so that could lead to some really seriously huge point disparities. But if the game plays fast enough, you could play multiple rounds and get, you know, whoever has the highest score after 3 rounds. That's how Lost Cities plays.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you took a game that was really simple and kind of silly and, like, put some mechanics in that will make people be like, what?
Yeah. Now, so positives and negatives in both. I think the second version with the score tracking and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff that we were just talking about, I think that's the more gamery game, you know? And I think that sounds like actually a more fun game. But the first version with it being, you know, the board, the roll and move, I think that might be a little bit more approachable, a little bit more of a mass market game, you know?
Could you have both in one game?
Could you have both? Oh, maybe you could.
Why not?
You would just, I mean, you'd use all the same cards. You would just either need the board or the score track.
And you could even have an extra, like a special aisle where one card is face up at any given time. It's the farthest away from everything, but it's the bonus cards. It's the end cards for the norm, for the other version of the game. So you could still get that sixth piece to the set if you wanted.
Maybe. So it's kind of two different ways to play the same game. Boy, that'd be an interesting design challenge to do the layout on the board so that it would work for both models. Huh. I kind of like that.
Two-sided board.
Yeah.
No, really, that would do it real simple, though.
Oh, yeah, it sure would. I'm thinking in terms of prototyping, that's not really an option for GameCrafter.
Well, for prototyping, you just order two boards.
But right, yeah. Oh, man, that's not a bad idea. Toy store. Well, I mean, that's basically the idea. You know, the reason that I like the board is because, you know, you show somebody a picture of that board and they know what that game is about. They like, oh, look, there's a track. There's mom is moving there. Cards out there. That is clearly the layout of a store and there are right. shelves. I mean, you know right away what that game is. And that's, right. you know, that's really appealing.
Right.
Whereas if you present it with those, you know, smaller tracks or whatever, that can be a little more obtuse at a glance, you know?
Yeah. But still awesome.
Yeah, man, I like it better that way, though. Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I like it better that way. That's a good idea. I wonder if 20 is enough, or 30, or 25, how far for mom to go. I mean, the shorter you make it, the fewer cards you need, the faster the game plays. 20 is probably a good.
You're rolling a d6 or 2d6 for movement.
2d6.
That's good.
Well, yeah. See, in the cards only version, there'd be no.
No. I mean, in the.
Oh, you know, you would still roll for your press your luck.
Right.
Yeah, you would still have to queue up to four cards and then roll to see if mom will let you get them.
Right.
Yeah.
Which if you spent 20 points on those four cards and then lost
them.
Ouch.
Maybe you should just take the rolling out of it, at that point.
You don't really need it. I mean, it's a more strategic game.
Yeah.
I was thinking more with that version of the game, it would be get a card, give a card, get a card, give a card. You know, you get one toy, you give it to mom. You get one toy, you give it to mom. So she's always going to say yes.
Yeah, I feel like I need something else in between there, though. That I mean, if you just get a card and then you have that card in your set, I mean, that almost feels too simple to me.
Well, but it's not, because the decisions that are driving you to do what you need to do are the fact that every time you spend more, mom is moving faster. So that's, you know, that's your pressure luck. I mean, it's not technically pressure luck, but it's, you know.
Yeah. Huh.
Or alternatively, do it in reverse. You only give her one card at a time. Like every turn you pick a card, you roll. The cheaper the card. The cheaper the card, the harder it is to get her to take it. Because it theoretically, right? If you run all the way to the other side of the store and come back, she doesn't see you do it. But if it's a one, it's right there. You're right there next to her. Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of options with that game. It sounds like fun, man. I would try that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be fun to try and throw together. Toy store. Christmas theme. I know, it'd just be fun Christmas themed game. I'm a little late on it this year. You know, if I wanted it to be ready in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
A little
be
late.
A good one for next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it could be fun. Anyway, if anybody out there has any thoughts or any comments on that, let me know. I'd be interested to hear whatever feedback you might have. Toy store. Well, moving on here, I think it's about time to wrap us up. I wanted to say I had a really good email question from one of our listeners, Jimmy. He and I have been chatting by email a little bit, and I had a really good question from him, and I accidentally deleted the email. So sorry about that, Jimmy. I know I promised you that I would answer your question on the show, and I completely lost that. So I'm very sorry. I really, for the life of me, can't remember what the question was. I know that I said that I would save it for the show because it was such a good question. but it's totally gone.
But so, if you send it back to him, he'll do it next time. In fact,
the next time,
he's probably going to send you an email asking for it and apologizing for being such a dope.
unless I forget to do that too. So, if you guys have any questions for us in the future, or if you want to get in touch with us for any reason at all, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also contact us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can remember to check out our bi-weekly video Google Hangout awesome good time fun show, which is called Something from Nothing. It's an hour-long hangout that we do every other Sunday. Me and Jason and our pals Chevy and TC and whatever awesome game designers TC can get on the line with us. We just hang out for an hour and talk about games that we're working on and just kind of whatever we feel like talking about related to game design. It's a good time. If you can't watch it live, you can see the archive shows on YouTube, and you can find links to that through our site and through the BTG Co-op site. I also want to remind you, because it's my show and I can do this, the Rumplebum Academy for Bug-Based Baking is available for sale on the GameCrafter, and I'm going to keep on pumping it for
every week.
While until Christmas passes. I mean, it makes a great Scott stocking stuffer, doesn't it? I mean, it's
the best thing. The mm-hmm. best thing I saw you tweet was Cyber Monday deal, Rumplebum for $10.99. What a great deal at the normal price.
Yeah, it's great. Maybe I should have raised the price like Cards Against Humanity did for Black Friday.
They did?
Yeah, they raised their price $5 on Black Friday. Best-selling day ever. maybe not ever, but they sold more copies this year than they did on Black Friday last year.
That's genius.
Thanks, because they got all kinds of free advertising for it, you know?
Right.
Because every news outlet thought that was awesome and talked about it. So I think that's pretty
funny. And I can see them being like, Black Friday is stupid. We're going to raise our price.
Right, they're making fun of people. So I thought that was really, really smart and really funny. I decided not to do that, though, for Rumblebum, because I would not have gotten the same attention that they did.
Nope. Some people on GameCrafter would have called you a jerk. That was probably it.
Right. So anyway, remember, like we said before, we have print and plays of several games out there on the website, buildinggamepodcast.com. Print and plays of Maelstrom, of Rocket Wreckers, Potent Potions. Do we have anything else on there right now? I think those are big three. Yeah.
Big three.
If you guys are interested in those, check them out. They're right there for you to try. We would love to hear what you guys have to say about them. And do we have anything else?
We do not.
No, okay, then that's going to wrap us up, and you guys have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week. If you don't hear from us again, you should hear from us again before Christmas, though. So I'm sure we'll talk again next week.
Well, I hope they hear from us again before Christmas.
Because there's another week left, isn't there?
Yeah.
Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Christmas, man. Christmas.
Good night.
Good night. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game. What are you laughing about?
Can we pause for just a second? Yeah. I just noticed a text from Steph, and it says, and I quote, "Your son just stood up during his bath and peed in the water." That kid's ready to be potty trained.
Awesome.
Well, now you have a tag for the end of the show.
Yeah. Excellent.